Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
It is 11 o'clock here in the post. 97.5, The Fanatic, as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Once again, I always like to, before, you know, we might lose some people because it gets late, you get home and you're going in to prepare for the meal tomorrow. I want to give thanks to everyone for everything that they do and contributing to the show, whether it be on social media, coming out to the live broadcasts that we have, and especially during these nighttime shows, because that is a commitment often for you to be listening at night when you're at home, and even when you're at work, and, you know, sneaking to listen at work because you just want to make sure you're in the mix with everything. And, you know, for me, it never goes unnoticed, and I really appreciate it. I always say I can't do this, obviously, without you guys. So I'm very thankful for you guys, thankful for all the help I get when I do these shows. And I never say that, of course, it's my show or anything like that, because when Dylan is here, Pat Egan, Tyler Zuli, Josh Rabick, it's our show, just like it is with all of you guys out there. It's our show, and I'm always glad to be able to do this with you guys on a nightly basis. So thank you so much. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you to Tyler again. He left already, but thanks to Tyler. Thanks to Brian Seltzer, Tom McGinnis, for always allowing me to do the Sixers coverage when those guys are a little busy. I have to jump in there. And thank you to Marty Dickerson, who you hear his name during the broadcast from the center. But, you know, the guy does his thing, and we love him for it. Marty Dickerson, you know, thanks as always, man. Appreciate it. So 610-632-0975. Enjoy your happy Thanksgiving with your family and all. And Dylan and I were just talking about it during the break, just asking, you know, what everyone is doing. So have fun tomorrow. Have fun. Enjoy it. 610-632-0975. And root for the Buffalo Bills, by the way. Let's get ready to go back to the phones. Guys have been hanging on patiently, and we want to give them their opportunity to talk Sixers or Flyers. Both teams winning tonight, and the 76ers 97-91 over the Sacramento Kings. A little bit too close for me, but you'll take the W because they needed it, and they are 12-6 right now in the Eastern Conference. Still fifth in the East, the Miami Heat 12-5 after their loss tonight. No Jimmy Butler on the floor for them. And the Philadelphia Flyers victorious as well. Let's go to Kevin in New Castle County in the post next. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Devon, what's up, man?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Just not much, brother. I just came from the game, man. And, you know, that first basket, let me know right there, me and one of my good brothers that went with me, let me know the tone of the game for Embiid, man, because I find it hard, man. Devon, you know, we've met and everything. I'm only like 6'3", man. And when any guy, you know, I played in high school, I played in the Marine Corps, yep. in the military. But I never, if the coach played me, man, whether starting or coming off the bench, I never got a goose egg, man. You know, and that really befuddled me, because Devon, I penciled in that game on all different all the schedule. I said, man, that man left that court crying, this, that, and the other, and I just knew he was going to have a nice game.
Yeah,
but
agree.
It's something when he plays against Gasol, man. I don't know what it is. I know Gasol is a savvy veteran. I know, you know, he pulls him away from the basket. But come on, man. You got to be able to – you got to be – just like he got to the free throw line tonight, you got to be able to get a point or two. I thought that was a sad game when Ben had that one-point game against Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. You know, like somebody said, you know, when Brett was with the Spurs, he helped develop a lot of players. Now, he's a hell of a guy to develop these players, but I really haven't seen too much change in that game from year to year. Whereas if you look at that kid Siakam, you can tell when he first came in to now, man, you know, this guy worked on his game. Again, I'm not, you know, I'm questioning their work ethic, man. And then it's only a certain amount that Brett Brown can hold these guys accountable. They got to want to do this for themselves, man.
No, they do. And it goes really with all of them, because it we talk about it with the accountability. That starts way back when these players get here and you see things start to happen. You have to kind of nip it in the bud early on to set a tone and set that culture that he always likes to talk about. And then you're right. when they hit the off season, man, even in season, we know how it goes, but it's easier in the off season. Go do what you need to do. And while they do work out, some of the things that you speak of, players come back and they add something. They're better at what they're already good at, and they become greater at them. And right now, we look at them, and while there might be little things in there that makes them better, and the experience is one thing also, but we want to see those significant jumps, as you mentioned, Pascal Siakam and Trae Young and and Luka Doncic that we're speaking of.
Exactly.
And right now, they look like the same type of dominant Embiid that he already is. You know, where else are you better? And Simmons, we already know what we want to see better from him, and we have not.
Exactly. And then last but not least, you can see like when Monty Williams left, and you can see when Pierce left. You can see those kids down there on those teams, man. And it seems like every time we play them, now we only play Phoenix twice, but we play maybe Atlanta four times. Every time, them guys know that matchup, man. And they know where to pick the holes and everything. And you have to make adjustments, man. And I love Tobias Harris, but he's not a 6'9 or 6'8 J.J. Redick, man. You just can't develop shooters. You understand? You got to let him stay in his game, man. That's where we go wrong. Horford, the same thing. Horford used to kill us down there in the box, man. Let that man go to work instead of we run our offense, man. One time I was down there, one time they ran a series, and everybody is behind the three-point line. Ain't nobody in the paint.
Yeah,
I don't understand that offense.
They don't
man.
Do that. They don't. I mean, listen. Yeah, and Kev, happy Thanksgiving, man. We'll talk
happy
to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. And when you speak of playing the Suns and the Hawks specifically, Monty Williams and Lloyd Pierce, respectively, former Sixers assistants under Brett Brown to move on and have the head coaching jobs in Atlanta, doing very well right now. Not right now, 4-14, but you know what I mean. Just improvement. You've seen it from the players getting better. The development that you speak of with Trae Young and John Collins and Kevin Huerter, who is hurt right now, and John Collins suspended right now. But Trae Young, he looks like he's an all-star player. Now, the record, if it doesn't get better, might hurt him a little bit, but we'll see how that goes. The Phoenix Suns, currently playing at this moment as we speak, they are in the eighth place in the Western Conference at 8-8, and they're playing hard every night. You see difference. Now, there are different personnel people also to make them better, like actually having a point guard on the roster. I don't know what in the world they were doing, McDonough and James Jones and everyone in that front office, to not have a point guard on their roster a season ago, a starting caliber point guard a season ago. Now they have Ricky Rubio, and they make some other moves to come in there to bring some veteran leadership to the team, which allows Devin Booker to be the shooting guard and not have to be a playmaker as well out there on the floor, to just focus on what he needs to do. Well, I wish he would pass the ball a little bit more for selfish reasons, right? You know that. And they're doing fine jobs. Now, neither one of those teams are going to win 50 games like the 76ers are. But the player development part that Kevin just talked about, that's what Brett Brown was known for in San Antonio. And oftentimes we get the phone calls, who exactly got better under Brett? Not throwing out the names, and we've talked about it. But to the point that Kevin was making also about how they defend the 76ers, specifically Ben Simmons, when they play, because they know his game. It's not like they're saying, oh, we were just there with Ben and Brett and Joel, and we're not going to defend them the way, we're not going to show a weakness because those are our guys. No, you have to go do your thing. And I was ticked off after the Phoenix Suns game. While, you know, hey, I wanted Phoenix to win because if Phoenix was going to lose, you know who I want to have a great game. All right, but Phoenix won, I'm fine. What made me mad was, at that point, no Embiid out there. Right away, as much as I like Aaron Baines and would love to have Aaron Baines on my team any day of the week, he should not be defending Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons should not be accepting that as, oh, okay, drive on him a few times, he defends it pretty well, and then I don't do it as often anymore. No. Make them pay. You just disrespected me by putting this big dude on me. Let's have at it. All I do is play pickup basketball. And if I feel like I have an advantage in saying, wait a minute, you putting this dude on me? Eye contact. Ball over here, please. Yeah, I'm either driving to the basket, layup, driving, stop, pull up, or I'm going to do something where I'm able to do a step back and give myself some space to pull, to just drill jumpers in their face all day long, all night long. That's just me. I'm nowhere near the talent level of Ben Simmons as a basketball player out there. And I don't think anybody on that team would mind if he went crazy selfish and says, oh, you guys are going to defend me like this? That made me mad that day. Kevin, why did you make me think about that again? Kev, come on. It's Thanksgiving. I was mad after that game for that. That was disrespectful. Your former coach knows your game, here with you for 2 years, puts a center on you. A center. Now, some might argue, hey, Ben Simmons is a center. That's not the point. He has a speed advantage. He has an athletic advantage over Aaron Baines. The physical advantage goes to Aaron Baines because he's stronger. That strength is not going to make him quicker. It's going to make him put his body on him, yes. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to get you in foul trouble if that's the case, because you might bite on some of the moves that I make. All right, they just got to win, 97-91. I digress. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones as we check in with Lamar in Philly next on 97.5. The Fanatic in the Post.
What's going on, man?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Man. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, man. No Eagle complaint tonight. I don't even want to go there. I want to
get to them on Friday and Sunday. We'll get to them.
I want to get on Ben, though. Devon, as much as I like to listen to the station, man, when you guys get to talking about Ben Simmons, it drives me crazy. Anybody that worked with me knows for the last couple of years I've been talking about Ben. Mike had finally came around. Missinelli had finally came around. But Devon, the guy don't have it in him, man. I mean, he don't have to have a jump shot for me. That's not what I judge Ben on. It's pathetic. Same the guy here. Don't shoot. But Devon, he don't have it in him to, like you just said, to get better as a player. He don't have it in him. He shouldn't have to be pushed to be a great player when he calls himself an all-star. And he don't have it in him to even put the ball on the floor and drive past Baines. The minute he didn't do that, that made me have the attitude, I can't even watch Ben Simmons.
I don't understand why he's not being called out for what he is. People call, certainly on the phones, people call him out. And if you're talking about the host, I can't speak for everyone else. And you just said Mike has come around on your side when it comes to this particular topic. I've said it plenty of times, Mar, where you know it. I love Ben Simmons, but he makes me mad, too. What do I always say? Aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. We don't see it enough. And I shouldn't have to say that. So when I say that, as you know, I'm saying it because I'm mad because he's not being aggressive enough when I think he should.
It's been about 3 years now, Devon. The guy, in my opinion, Devon, you either have it or you don't have it. They paid this guy as if he has it. They paid this guy as if when the game's running, when the clock's running out, he's going to say, I'm putting the ball on the floor and I'm going to the rim. Siakam went to the rim and got an and-one in the clutch moments of the game when he wasn't that player 3 or 4 years ago. So Siakam has worked on his game, just like Kev said, and he is a better player, and he has that has that dog in him. I look at Ben, I'm like, this guy don't even look interested.
That is true. He did do that the other night in that game. They went up 1 point. He made the free throw. You're right on both Simmons and Embiid.
Exactly. So my thing is, Siakam's going against two trees. And amongst the trees, he's going in there and getting the and-one. And I'm like, I haven't seen Ben do that in 3 years.
Yeah. It makes it difficult for me to defend him, man. Once again, man, happy Thanksgiving, Mar. We'll talk soon. Really appreciate the phone call. It's tough to do this when you're coming off of a win. It really is. I understand the frustration. Like I said, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. He is fantastic when he's distributing and protecting the basketball in transition. Very difficult to stop. The only person that can stop him in transition outside of them building that wall in Boston a few years ago and the way that Toronto defended him last postseason is him. Saw it tonight. Yes, he has some really good ones when he's way ahead of the offense. He's way ahead of the break because he's so quick and the defense can't keep up with him. And even his players can't keep up with him. And he has to turn around and drop it back to players. I love that play. I love that play. When I don't love that play is when he turns around, but he picks up the basketball and right there, it's dead. Unless he has somewhere to go. And he did it again earlier where he did it, got to the left side of the paint, knew he wanted to pass it, stopped, turned, jumped. Just so happened that Joel Embiid was on the left wing. I'm sure he saw him, but it was a bad pass. It's a bad pass. You know the pass that they always teach you when you're a young player, and then they have to continue to pound it in your head? Never jump and cross-court pass. Right? All that stuff. For Bennett's, never jump and turn to throw the ball without a destination for the basketball. 610-632-0975 in the post. Sixers win 97-91. Ben Simmons tonight, 10 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, the 5 turnovers on 5 of 11 shooting tonight, 36 minutes and 55 seconds. Good defense like he generally does on that side of the floor. Let's go back to the phones. Scott and Barrington, by the way, Flyers again. With the win, 3-2 on the road in Columbus now. Just a good win on the road for the Flyers. It is. So two teams victorious tonight. Scotty and Barrington in the post. What's up, Scott?
Brother D, what's going on? Happy holidays.
Same to you, man. Thank you.
Good. One of my boys, he's a sports fanatic, like my boy Detroit, he cracked up one night. I talked about the Flyers, and I'm like, yeah, brother, we watch hockey, but Brother D, working at the facility over in Voorhees, I have a found respect for those players. I mean, they're big guys, but seeing them on skates up close and personal when I'm working there is just phenomenal. Just the way they skate and stop, drop of a dime. And they had a hard practice. I want to say congratulations to the Flyers on that victory tonight.
And they're some big dudes, man.
So yes, they are. Like I said,
on those skates.
Man, look, one wave, I was like, hey, I was like, oh, boy. But, my thing is, I want to commend the coach. He's just a no-nonsense guy. And what I've seen, I guess you want to say their developmental team, the young guys that they've brought up, it's just been a breath of fresh air. And what can you say about the goalie, Mr. Hart? Just, I just commend him, man. And like I said, I'm getting more into hockey. I know it's here, we're hearing talking about it, but again, I have a profound respect for those guys, man.
Hey, man, it's a fun sport when you're able to lock in on it. It's a fun sport.
And like I said, just sitting there and watching them, you know, as I work and just seeing them practice, man. And they had a hard practice the other day. And it just seems to me, brother, the kryptonite is when they go in the shootouts. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Just when they get in the shootouts, it's just a little iffy with them. But all in all, brother D, again.
That's always been their thing. The shootouts have been a problem the last couple of years.
But, again, tip my hat off to them, Brother D. God bless you, man. You enjoy your holiday tomorrow. God bless all the listeners, and enjoy your day. I'm going to hang out with one of my boys. He came up from Raleigh, North Carolina, so I'm looking forward to kicking back and watching the Bills win tomorrow, Brother D.
No,
once again, peace. God bless
you. Same to you,
right,
man. Enjoy the holiday with the family and friends, man. Great stuff. Great stuff. And, yes, the Flyers. And he said a newfound respect by watching them up close and personal now. That he's at the facility quite often, Scotty and Barrington. Always a great call from Scotty. Let's go to Alex next in South Philly on the Fanatic. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, can I bring up the Eagles?
Sure, sure.
So obviously, you know, I think it was a smart decision with Elliott signing to an extension. But to me, what I want to talk about the actual state of the team. And, you know, a lot of people are blaming Mike Groh. And my question is, if you're a coach and there's a level of performance that the team is playing at, which is not good, and you blame that coach, with the level of talent that they have, that means if you give that same coach less talent, the team's going to be worse, not better. So what I mean by that is last year, the Eagles had the same exact record, 5-6 with Carson Wentz. They were flat all year. They were terrible performance from everyone, and everyone is blaming Mike Groh. Now, Nick Foles, who has less talent than Carson Wentz, was inserted as the starting quarterback when Wentz went down. So my point is, if they were losing because of Mike Groh, and the offense was doing bad, as everyone is saying is his fault, then they should have been a lot worse with Nick Foles because Nick Foles has less talent. Yet, they got better, and they started winning. They beat the Rams. They put up 30 points versus the Rams. Foles threw for 471 yards versus the Texans. The next week, they beat the Texans 32-30. So clearly, Groh isn't the problem because when Wentz isn't the quarterback, Groh wins almost every game, and he wins with Foles. So what that shows you is it's not a coaching issue. It's a chemistry issue. When you have guys that don't want to run through a brick wall for you as a quarterback and guys that don't trust you, it's going to affect your performance. You're not going to get the most out of the team. So when I hear coaches get blamed, when I hear Aguilar get blamed, and all these things keep happening, and then I look at the results and I say the same team without Carson Wentz is 11-1 in their last 12 games. They've won 5 playoff games without him. He hasn't won a single playoff game. You cannot blame coaches or players. This is a chemistry issue. This is a leadership issue. And he continues to show why Howie Rosen made a horrific mistake in the offseason.
Well, let's look at it, as you just said, with the coaching and just focus on Doug Peterson, where it may not be Groh, but it could also...
But Doug won last year when Foles was inserted.
Yeah, but here's where I'm going. It could be Peterson in this regard. You do certain things with Nick Foles. You do more other things with Carson Wentz because you look at his ability to also be able to move out of the pocket, run and extend plays, maybe a little bit different than Nick Foles, and they decide to go into their bag of tricks maybe and open up the playbook a little bit differently than they do with Nick Foles. Remember in the Super Bowl year, they had to sit down with him during the bye week. I mean, after one of those games towards the end of the season or the bye week going into the postseason and said, hey guys, hey Nick, what is it exactly that, you know, as we look at these things that you did great when you were with Chip Kelly that we can incorporate for these next few weeks while we try to make this run?
No question, but the problem is...
Right, so you know what I'm saying? So
no, 100%.
Maybe it's more Doug than we're looking at Groh. Maybe it's more Doug because he feels that he can call all of these other things because he has this, you know, guy with the cape that can do more.
Right, but the problem is there's the other element also part of that, which is a big part, is the team doesn't play for Wentz, and that's the biggest issue, is that you're right. You can look at the scheme, you can look at play calling, but the reality is, if you have guys on your team that don't trust you, that don't believe in you, you're not going to get the most out of everybody, which results in drop passes. It results in guys, you know, the O-line sometimes giving up on a play. And my point is, when you look at the things that were said in the offseason from that article, you know, where there were players that talked about Wentz as being selfish and egotistical, and you have anonymous sources, and you have, you know, burner accounts of liking things, and you have Jalen Mills who liked a post that somebody posted saying that Wentz is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. When you have those elements, that's, you know, that's another big part of it. Like, when I hear Richard Sherman of the 49ers talk about how guys want to run through a brick wall for Jimmy Garoppolo, that means there are quarterbacks that don't have guys that want to do that for their quarterback. Otherwise, he wouldn't bring that up, saying that we want to run through a brick wall. So if you don't have that level of effort for Carson Wentz, it's going to affect performance. So you can have the great play calling, you can have a certain scheme, but if guys don't want to play for you or don't trust you, you're going to get the least out of the team. And the results have shown the last 2 years, and pretty much overall, in the sense that he's had 3 out of 4 losing seasons. He hasn't won a playoff game. So that, to me, is what I look at as the biggest factor.
Well, listen, man, happy Thanksgiving to you, Alex, and hope you guys enjoy it tomorrow. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. And we'll see, man, because now coming down the stretch, it's already been said by Carson Wentz that he has the ultimate confidence in his ability to turn things around during these final games. We know the games: Miami, New York, Washington, Dallas, and New York. Let's see what he does. Groh, Peterson, let's see what they all do together, collectively, to try to get this team into the postseason. 610-632-0975. Little Eagles talk in the post. As we talk about the post, right? Alex said it. A little extension for the kicker. He's perfect this year, field goals. 14 of 14 extra points. He's missed 2 of those. But he has not been as frustrating as he has been over the last couple of seasons. Jake Elliott with a new extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. 610-632-0975. We're hitting the post everywhere. In the post, in basketball, post in hockey, creases, and the post, the uprights, and football with Jake Elliott as well. 610-632-0975. Dylan McKinnon, Devon Givens, we're hanging out with you until midnight right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Hey, 11:31, 97.5 The Fanatic. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Hope you guys have a great day tomorrow. Safe one. Weather looks like it's going to cooperate. A little windy, but it should be a good time overall. So hope you all have a great time with your family and friends. On the phones tonight, 610-632-0975. I get to hang out with my friends tonight, as always, and talk about the Sixers and Flyers wins and Eagles conversation like we just had with Alex, if you want to jump in on that as well. But while I am at it, okay, I'm going to have to tell you guys about something that is pretty good, done by one of the Eagles players, and that is the AACR and Rodney McLeod with their race to 23,000. Win the ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to the Monday night game, December 9th, field passes, and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. Eagle safety Rodney McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research, the first and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate. Make a donation to Rodney McLeod. Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for this Ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win. Exclusively from Eagle Safety, Rodney McLeod, the AACR, and 97.5 The Fanatic. A great thing done by a player who is fantastic, in my opinion, for the Philadelphia Eagles. I've been a big fan of his since he's joined the team, and he's doing a great thing here of trying to raise some money for the cancer research. So please go ahead and contribute and donate and look at what you're getting. Two tickets to the Monday night game. I think that's the one against New York. Right, Dylan? On the 9th? That's against New York at the Link. And that's December 9th. You have field passes and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. So that's a fantastic get for you all for just simply helping out and donating to a great cause, the cancer research. Again, the AACR. Please go do that. It's real easy. 975thefanatic.com/donate. We really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones as we talk Sixers, Flyers, and Eagles. Now we go to Dennis and Ben Salem, who's in the post right here on The Fanatic. What's up, Den?
Not much, Devon. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Oh, same to you.
All right. It's hard for me to call and not slam the Sixers a lot of the time. But because of the holidays, it is nice for a change of pace to see us squander away a double-digit lead and come back from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a beautiful thing. So thank you, Brett. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, entire Sixers team, for not letting us down tonight. That being said,
sure,
I want to start a GoFundMe. I want to see if we can pay Woody Harrelson to come to the Sixers locker room and give Ben that speech from White Men Can't Jump. I want to see Woody go in there. You'd rather look good and lose than look bad and win. Maybe that'll get Ben to start, develop that mid-range game, start taking them shots.
I don't know what I don't know, man. I mean, we all have our theories, right? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think Ben knows he's going to be a really good player for a very long time, doing what he's doing. I don't think anybody's helped him realize that if he developed that mid-range game and pulled everybody away from the paint, he has the potential to be a first ballot Hall of Fame player and win multiple rings. I think somebody just needs to help him realize that. And all will be right with the world.
I'm sure people say things to him about it. I know Brett Brown speaks to him about his shooting, and again, yeah. He doesn't do it. That's his call. That's his choice. He doesn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to kill Ben tonight. I'm really not. I still want to see Woody go in there and be like, you know what your problem is, Sydney? But for Matisse, I actually look forward to seeing what this kid's going to turn into. If memory serves, he actually used to have a pretty decent offensive game, but they needed more defense out of him as his college career progressed, and that's how he ended up getting drafted, was the D.
Mm-hmm.
Am I misremembering this? Or?
Right.
I wasn't sure. Hopefully he gets that shot back. He could actually end up being a starter on this team and doing a lot of damage.
Down the line, yeah. Who would he take over for right now? Because he's not going to supplant Richardson or Harris. So what do you, maybe Horford? I don't even think that's
possible. I actually could see him supplanting Richardson or Harris. If they keep struggling,
Richardson, though, is also an all-defensive player.
Yeah.
Level player.
And Richardson's offensive game has stepped up.
Yeah, it has. He's getting comfortable. Yep.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see in the next couple seasons.
Yeah, it will be, man. And listen, happy Thanksgiving to you, Den.
And to you, Devon.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. I don't think he's that, but could he be the sixth man? Certainly could be the sixth man. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's just watch him continue to grow, become more of a regular contributor to this team than the spot duty that he's gotten. I don't know if it's 21 minutes like it was tonight off the bench, but he played very well. And he was perfect from the floor, perfect from the field overall offensively, giving you 15 points, connecting on all of his three-pointers, guys. All of them. 3 of 3. 5 of 5 from the floor, 2 dunks were the other 2 field goals, 2 free throws that he made, gave you 3 rebounds, 2 block shots, and the 4 steals. That's what really stands out for us, right? When we speak about Matisse Thybulle, just his anticipation for the ball when the ball is being passed, His control on the defensive side, where he's really not beaten one-on-one face-up situations. When he's man up on a offensive player, coming around those screens, when he trails, he still has his hand up. He doesn't commit the fouls as often as we saw in game number 1 against Kemba Walker, where he got him, he adjusts, and then he's good. Smart player. And I remember after one of the games where he did not play much at all, if at all. And post game, he was asked about his new role. And he said, what role? Coming off, you mean sitting on the bench? And he just walked out of the locker room. He was not happy. I like that, though. The competitiveness, where he wants to be on the floor. I like that. I'm okay with that. I mean, you got to earn yours. But I like that he wasn't happy with being relegated to the bench after playing those first few games and contributing. But we know why he sat down. It was the lack of offense. The defense was there. He was committing some fouls. Again, just being attacked by veterans who are going to do that stuff because they're very good, very crafty, and they're going to get you if you're a rookie. Brett decided to go with the shooting of Furkan Korkmaz. So we're probably going to see that where it changes from player to player in that regard. James Ennis, sometimes he plays 21 minutes. He only got 11-20 tonight. Mike Scott, Furkan Korkmaz, and Matisse Thybulle all 20-plus minutes on the evening. Offensively, he was the only one that gave you something, and he gave you defense. Scott was 0-7 tonight, an off night for Mike. 0-6 from deep, off night. Sometimes you're going to have that from Ennis, from Korkmaz, from Scott, even from Matisse Thybulle. No Trey Burke tonight. Brett Brown decided to go with Raul Neto. 11 minutes, 2 points, that was pretty much it in his 11 minutes. Good passes. He didn't turn the ball over but one time. So I don't really know. Defensively, I guess he was okay. None of the point guards did anything. Only 4 points with their point guards and Yogi Ferrell and Corey Joseph, who started in place of De'Aaron Fox, out with the ankle. 610-632-0975. Final segment on the other side. We will get to Jerry and everyone else when we get back before we get ready to jump right into our Thanksgiving day tomorrow. In the Post with Devon Givens, Dylan McKinnon producing the show right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Nybel knocks it away from Bogdanovich. Harris has it. Hold on, there could be more. Matisse into the corner for three, and it's good! Nybel, what an improbable sequence. A hot potato ends up with Matisse. Nybel in the corner for three.
The new zone buster.
Get excited!
Not quite that, but it's good to see the progress. Matisse Nybel with 15 points. 3 of 3 from deep tonight. Perfect from the floor and from the free throw line as well. Final segment here in the Post on 97.5 The Fanatic as the 76ers win 97-91 over the Sacramento Kings as they head back. Final game of their 4-game road trip. They head back to Sacramento. The 76ers off day tomorrow. Travel to New York later on in the afternoon, evening, I'm guessing, to get to New York to take on the New York Knicks, who fell tonight. Who did they lose to again? I can't even remember. They lose so much at this point. Terrible roster. 126-98 to the Toronto Raptors. They are 4-14 on the season. Let's go to Jerry in Philly, as promised, next in the Post on The Fanatic. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, man, what's up, man?
Hey, man, what's going on? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Ben Simmons. You know, I've been calling you all the time talking about Ben Simmons.
Yes.
But again, I'm going to stress it again. He shot that three, and my friend got so hyped about it. I said, dude, he's doing it for a reason. He's mind-bleeping us. He's doing it so we could shut up for a couple of days and be like, oh, he shot a three, yeah. And that's what he did. He shut us up for a couple of days. We weren't getting on him.
Actually,
he's not shooting again.
Actually, the problem was when you do it, people want more.
He should shoot the ball.
Right.
Shoot more.
Right, so it backfired on him.
He pisses me off, though, because it's like, listen, this is a dude, again, like I told you, he got his contract. He said he fell in love with football, basketball again. And then I hear that Jimmy Butler said that he had a problem in Philly because some players didn't have the same goal of winning like he did. And I'm like, I wonder who that could be. It could be Ben Simmons, the man that does not care about winning. Like, he wants to win, but I don't think he cares about it as much as everybody else on the team. I don't see that in him, man. You know, you're around these sports guys every day and all that. And you probably talk to people that be around him. But I just don't see it in him. He doesn't fit the Philly mold. He doesn't have that grit and grind in him, man. He doesn't fit that star.
One thing someone always keeps trying to pound in my head, and I'm like, all right, you keep saying it. I hear you. Someone in the league, and they're like, Rich Paul is going to try to steer him where we think he's going to try to steer him, even though the contract is signed. Going to try to steer him that way. I don't know. He says he loves it here. His family loves it here. All of that stuff. We'll see. But right now, he's not going anywhere, at least I don't think.
Well, one thing I would say, Devon, is on that Rich Paul thing, I had a conspiracy around Rich Paul. I said that he's signing all these players so when LeBron's son comes into the league and LeBron gets older, he can get them all in free agency to come to the Lakers. And it became this massive super team. Rich Paul is a dark lord of basketball. He's creating a super team from hell. Everybody knows this. He needs to be stopped.
That's great, man. Now, I mean, listen, man, Ben is going to be a hot topic until, right, we see that consistency overall. We look at the thing, and we try to mask some of the, not even mask, but just give him the time. And now you're starting to see players around the league who needed to develop as well just surpass him. And that's not something that we want to see. It's not going to help him.
I think he should be embarrassed, though, because you see Giannis is out there just dropping 50 points.
Oh,
and it's like, dude, if you could just do a quarter of what Giannis does, put in that work, man. I don't want to see you lift kettlebells.
He's not like satisfied, Giannis.
Tired of it.
Giannis is not satisfied. Now look at Pascal Siakam, right?
Dude, oh my God. You know what's funny, man? Like, I saw him last year, and I'm like, he's not going to be nobody. He had a hot playoff. That's all it is. And then I see him now, I'm like, you know what? He's the real deal. He can carry a team. Ben just doesn't have that in him, dude. He's all about the lifestyle of basketball. He doesn't care about what he can give to the game. He cares about what the game can give to him.
It's interesting.
That's why he loves the contract.
Joe Torti said that last night. He said the same thing. He said similarly that, I mean, listen, the guy maybe just loves the lifestyle more so than he loves basketball. Well, he loves everything that comes with it.
And listen, I'm not mad at him loving the lifestyle. I'm really not. Because, listen, it's women and all that stuff. And if I was a basketball player, I'd be digging into everything I can. So I ain't mad at him for that. But I just wish he could just have that fire in him to want to do more. I wish he could actually listen to the radio and hear us and say, like, dude, we like you. We just want to see you do more, man. That's it. We don't hate you. We just... Just shoot three threes a game. If you go 0 for 3, that's fine. But at least you chop
your stars, brother. Yeah, the critique simply comes from we want you to be the greatest. That's it. It comes from love, right? Until you don't love him anymore because he doesn't do what you ask him to do. Jerry,
that's it, but you know, go ahead, real fast. No, I was just gonna say that. I was just gonna say, like, yeah, you're right. You know, I just wish he had the same heart as Allen Iverson. That's it.
Yeah, not many have that. Listen, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you, man.
Happy Thanksgiving, brother. Thank you.
No doubt about it, man. Appreciate it. It's going to be an ongoing thing with Ben Simmons until they get to the NBA Finals or the postseason in general when they get back to the postseason starting in April, and he's the best player in the series. Now, I thought he was the best player in the series against the Brooklyn Nets. Jimmy Butler had the best game one. Ben Simmons, I thought thereafter, he was the best player in that series. And then in Toronto, we know what he did. It was really focused on his defense when they needed both his defense and his offense. When Embiid could not be himself and Jimmy could not do it alone and J.J. Redick and Tobias Harris had their struggles, you needed Ben Simmons to step up and be the guy that we think he is or think the guy that we think he can be. They did win tonight, 97-91. A very good win for them coming back after the loss. They've won 5 of their last 6 games. Back at it on the floor in New York at the Garden Friday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So I hope you guys, first of all, want to say thank you to Dylan McKinnon for producing a great show tonight from 6 on until midnight. Great work, of course, by the Sixers team and Tyler Zuli, Marty Dickerson, Brian Seltzer and Tom McGinnis tonight. Great work by the guys to get the W. Bounce back for Embiid, 33-16 tonight for the big fella. And the Flyers get their victory 3-2. Jake Elliott signs an extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. All is right here in Philadelphia. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Hope you have a great time tomorrow with your family and friends. Please enjoy the time. Have a great one. Make sure you take Friday off, right? I'm sure most of you did. Take Friday off. Have a great time. Go Buffalo. That will be on here at 4 o'clock tomorrow, 4:25 tomorrow, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So if you are out and about traveling from spot to spot, family member's house to friend's house to family member's house back home, and you're listening in the car, turn on The Fanatic and listen to Buffalo take down the Cowboys tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday at 6 o'clock before the Knicks game. So I'll talk to you then. Have a great Thanksgiving. We appreciate you all. I know I certainly do. I know Dylan does as well. Always enjoy the time with the family and friends here on the radio. So enjoy your Thanksgiving with the family and friends. Enjoy the football. I will talk to you on Friday at 6 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Have a great night and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.